Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobbenmeyer.
Hey, it looks like Peter's not yelling a whole lot. I'm in the airport, so I assume everybody can hear me. But you know me, if I get too excited and start screaming and hollering, they're going to all come over here. Although, I noticed something today. The tension's down a little bit. This election tension is down. And I told you yesterday that I think this was all part of the scheme. And by that, I mean, if those crybabies had lost the House. Jim Kraft said to me the other day, are we going to be able to get home? Are they going to declare martial law? I mean, who knows what would happen, right? So there's a little less tension in the air now that this whole thing's over. I got a great analysis of a lot of stuff I'd like to talk to you about, but I don't have time to do it. Ultimately, me, I'm going to have maybe 15, maybe 20 minutes of broadcast time, then the rest of you are going to have to pick it up and run with it and carry it from there. Although I know you're able to do it. Thank Mark Trump. We got up about 4:15 this morning, and he drove me here to the airport, and then Mark drove back, and those guys are out hitting the streets again today, and I just want to salute all of them, salute Jim and James, and golly, Don, and man, the stuff we did was pretty amazing. I don't want to keep harping on that stuff, because I know some of you I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty because they're not being here. I'm heading to Chad's, and Chad's in here with us today. Chad, what's going on, man? We're going to go to Austin, Texas. We're heading into Chad's. I'm heading there tonight. Victor's picking me up today. We're going to have a good meal tonight. Then tomorrow, we're going to have some fellowship at Chad's house. Then Saturday morning, we're going to go to Austin, Texas, to the Planned Parenthood. Chad, you got an update on that, man? What's that thing looking like from your perspective?
Well, everything's looking good to go. I've been busier than a one-legged man in a butt-kicking contest, and so trying to finish up the last touch, but we got it all lined up. We're ready to go. We're ready. Folks are coming in today starting at 8 o'clock this morning, and we'll be backloading all the way up until the next 24 hours. People will be flying in. Greyhound, Craig's on a Greyhound bus coming in. People are driving in, so we're getting prepared, getting all the rooms, everything, all that's coordinated. But as far as our actual event, it's ready to go. Brian and Anthony have done a great job on getting us set up down there. So I got a good team. And so we're ready to go. We're chomping at the bit to get it on.
All right, Chad. Listen, I just want to say this again before I move on. I'm one blessed guy, man. I'm blessed man. Can I tell you why I'm a blessed man? I'm blessed because I'm beginning to see the fulfillment of a vision in my life, and that is to get guys onto the field, playing in the game. And I've tried to tell all of you that have been with us, we're coming up on 3 years. Can you believe that? 5 days a week, 3 years. It's amazing. And I've been trying to tell people, I ain't looking for anybody to follow me. I want guys to get out and live out their faith and walk out what it is that the Lord's calling them to do. And I just began to, I was sitting down last night, you know, we had like Chad said, it's church camp for adults. And just talking with each other, Mark Trump, the stuff that the stuff people are launching out on and doing has just been amazing. The players that I see that we have on the field does my heart good. And I don't care whether they're pass the salt. I don't care if they're the Salt and Light Brigade. It just does my heart good that people are getting involved. I'm going to tell you, it's going to get worse, folks. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. Natural disasters. I was talking to Trump and some of those guys about what's going on with boy, this is tinfoil hat. But the pole shift and a lot of other different things that are going on. Why is our weather so crazy all of a sudden? What's really, really going on? And to come down here and see $1 billion in trees, $1 billion in wood land being ground up. How long it took for those trees to grow. We're living in times like we can't even believe. And I don't know what it's going to look like, but it's coming to a town near you. The calamity's coming to a town near you. And so my heart's desire is to get people up and moving and engaged right where you are, making a difference in your own lives. And that's where we are. We're starting to make some calls. I got a few phone minutes. I said, Lord, what would you have me talk about today? Because I got some great videos. Maybe Chad or Jared. Maybe after I'm done, if things are slowing down and people don't know what, nothing really to carry the show, you can go to my Facebook page. I made a couple really, really good videos yesterday. Or even Jared, some of them that I put up privately on YouTube. There are some short videos that you could show there. I mean, you guys will never be without something to talk about, so I'm not really worried about that. But there are some good videos and some good things. But I had something happen last night. We were sitting around eating some pizza and just kind of relaxing. And I don't mean this to be casting aspersion at anybody. I don't mean to criticize anyone. One of the guys with us is a young guy named James. He's Craig's nephew. He's 19 years old. And he's done some good work. And it's been great for him to be around us. And it was all good. But we were sitting here last night. And I made him feel embarrassed. And I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to at all. I simply asked him this question. I said, how's a law made? In America, how do we make a law? Now, this guy just graduated from high school, right? I mean, you think about it, folks. Your civics lesson, when's the last civics lesson you had? When's the last civics class? I think back on it. I graduated from college in 1975. I had a Western Civ class, I think, in 1973. Other than that, I don't remember having another history class. And I remember back in high school, we had a thing called social studies, and then they made a POD. Remember that, Problems of Democracy? But the last real social studies class I had, when was that? I don't even know. So I'm talking to this James who just graduated, 19 years old. Said, how's the law made? And then I asked him this simple question. Well, what is Congress? And he kind of looked at me. He says, well, it's a group of people. I said, okay, well, what people? What is Congress? How many congressmen are there? And then what's the Senate? And how do we elect? I'm going to tell you something. He didn't know any of it. He didn't have any idea. And I'll tell you what else. As we were sitting around the room and I was asking questions to the guys that were in the room, it became obvious that we all need a refresher. We all do. We don't understand. We don't understand that each state gets two senators. They used to be selected by the state legislatures, and the 17th Amendment made it direct election. They don't understand how many House of Representatives guys there are, 535, and how it's apportioned according to population. And they don't understand any of that. So what we see is we're living in a golly, the devil has just dumbed us down. He's not only dumbed us down academically, he's dumbed us down biblically, see. Just sitting there last night and listening to Mark Trump and Jim and Craig going on and on about what we would call tinfoil hat stuff and what's coming out of those guys and how we would go deeper and deeper, and they would say, yeah, well, what about this? And what's this say about that? And Trump was going on about, oh, my goodness. The Queen of Heaven and who the Queen of Heaven was and Babylon and so much stuff. See, we don't even know biblical history, let alone do we know American history. Is it any wonder that we are in the position that we're in? Is it any wonder that we can go across America and talk about immigration and people not even understand the difference between legal and illegal immigration? They really don't even understand that. They don't understand how immigration is controlled. They don't understand how laws are made. Don't understand why capturing the Senate was more important than capturing the House. Don't understand that the Senate's in there for 6 years. Don't understand that the House of Representatives, every 2 years, apportioned according to the population. The states each have... State has two, so it's about, So I'm watching all this and thinking, Lord, what Lord say? My people are destroyed. Why? For lack of knowledge. We don't get it. We don't understand. We don't understand.
Now, but the enemy gets it.
What's that?
And if, they, I said, the enemy gets it. And if they want to create a new future, they got to first erase the old past. And the way to do that is you don't teach the old past.
Dale, they get it. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, right? We don't get it. And I'm talking about believers. Hey, Jared, see if you can pull this up here real quick. They're starting to make a call for me here. I tried to forward myself some other stuff that didn't show up. Jared, I want you, Lance Wall now. Glenn Claremont sent me this one. I want to play this before I have to take off here.
Hey, this, Coach, while we're waiting on that to come up, a real simple thing that the Lord gave me yesterday is you have failed again because you have failed to unite again. And it says you indeed cannot unite until you learn how to know who your brothers are.
Larry, listen. This is what Lance Wall now. This is 5 minutes. Jared, go ahead and play that real quick before I have to get on the plane. Glenn, thanks for forwarding this to me. But to me, this makes perfect sense. Go ahead and play, Jared.
Dell, check it out. The crowd is pretty much broken up. And here's what happened. We had the House taken by the Democrats because they're so much better at the ground game than Republicans. It's door-to-door, hand-to-hand combat when it comes to precincts. And let me tell you something. All of our money that we put into Christians and organizations, please listen to me. Most of the organizations we support are policy paper organizations. They're not politics organization. They don't know how to get people elected. They know how to do white papers and lobby for Christian evangelical influence. We should learn from this. We need a better ground game. The Senate was held. I predicted there was no red wave. The prophets that prophesy red waves are delusional. They're listening to cue droppings. They're delirious. This is exactly what one would expect. As I wrote in God's Chaos Candidate, I forecasted this man is a Lincoln during the American unraveling. Trump is a Lincoln. And he said, a house divided, Lincoln said, cannot stand. The house divided. See that flag behind me? A house divided. Senate and Congress. We are becoming a goat nation or a sheep nation on our watch. Christians will determine the future of America. But it's not going to happen by intercession without corresponding electoral action and a ground game that establishes itself, as Wilberforce said, in a sustained pattern of public persuasion. A sustained pattern of public persuasion. Nancy Pelosi's speech tonight. We're going to drain the swamp. They're using the words that are our words. We're going to drain the swamp of special interests. They're copying our language. Well, they got the Congress. We're going to have 11 subpoenas. We're going to have Trump's children on witness stands. We're going to have tax returns that are going to be brought out in order to make Trump look like he's a scandalous New York tax evader, guilty of federal crimes. Their goal is to break him enough so that he can't run in 2020. I predict their malice and rage will backfire, and they're going to lose 2020. You've got 2 years, my friends. You and I have 2 years. The future of the Republic is in our hands. Our hands. Look at the electoral map. Blue and red represent sheep and goats. Sorry to say it. I know most Christian ministers don't want to get involved with politics and alienate their financial base, but I really don't care, because I'd build businesses to subsidize my opinions. So I speak the truth. We're in the battle of ideas right now. And America cannot remain half goat and half sheep. Must become a sheep nation. Got to go to see Jim Baker. I'm about to do a broadcast.
Okay, man. Thanks for cutting that off. I got that's it, isn't it? Larry, that's exactly what you're speaking to. A sheep and a goat nation. red and blue. A house divided against itself cannot stand. I thought, boy, is that ever profound. And that's what I'm telling you. The next 2 years, baby, the next 2 years, because they are fighting. The goats are fighting for their lives. And I'll tell you what else I said, what he said that was so profound. Family Research Council, focus on the family. They write white papers, policy. They won't get down and dirty and do the work that needs to be done to rescue and save this great Christian nation. Hey, boys and girls, that's going to fall into our hands. That's going to fall into our hands if we're going to save this nation. It's going to be individual men and women of God standing up for what they believe, stepping out outside of their comfort zone, fighting to make a difference for the cause of Christ. We ain't seen nothing yet. I got to go get in line. You have a flea flicker, free for all, whatever. I'm going to be listening, but I'm going to have to mute myself because I got to go through the line here, and I don't want to irritate everybody else. Hey, God bless all you guys. Thanks for being there. Thanks for all the support and wrap this. Jared, I don't know who's in charge. Somebody grab the old bull by the horns. God bless y'all.
Hey, Dale, you just posted in there, we are divided because we have been dividing our own. And that is exactly what's been happening, is because we don't even know who our own are. We are trying to assemble an effective unit for the glory of God. And we're trying to assemble it using parts that don't belong in the finished product because they're not a part of the body yet. Concentrate on putting them in a position where they can be used instead of testing them to find out who they are. And if we find out they're not a part of the body of God, the body of Christ, then it's a very simple matter of if the Holy Spirit tells you, give them the gospel. If they don't respond to it, walk away to the next person the Spirit leads you to. But let's stop trying to put non-Christian, non-body of Christ parts into the machine to do Christ's work.
Amen. Got Rusty Thomas here, so we're trying to be a little bit quiet for the morning. They're traveling through. They're on their way down to Florida, but it's always a wonderful time to be able to sit at the table with Rusty, and I've known him for many years and listened to his heart and what the Lord is showing him. And, you know, that we are under the judgment of God. There's no getting around this. And we got into the conversation that even if we stop the shedding of the innocent blood of these little baby boys and girls, which is a high, high crime against God Almighty himself, we're still going to reap the ramifications because of that. It's like if a person commits murder and then he goes before the judge and he repents, he says, man, I'm so sorry. That doesn't negate him from the guilt sentence thereof. And so America is shedding 65 million baby boys and girls. And God is not winking his eye at that. Even if we were to stop abortion tomorrow, We've wreaked the havoc in the womb. We're going to wreak the havoc in the street. You know, the Zelensky ideal is that if you want to change the future, you got to rewrite the past. And the only way you're going to rewrite the past is first, don't teach the past so you can rewrite that past. There's a link out there, Jared, that Rusty was telling me about that's kind of interesting to see. It's called libertystate.org. This is a representative from Washington who has a great deal of military background, and he also has a lot of political influence up there. He's literally wanting to divide Washington state in half and create two states out of it. And there's a lot of information. So there's a lot of good things. A lot of people are waking up in this time. And so we're seeing the goats and the sheep being separated. And I agree with Coach. For the people that, like Chad, I texted in there earlier, he's not a hearer of the word. He's a doer of the word. It's one thing to hear the word, but it's another thing to be a doer of the word.
Hey, this is Chad. I'm on the call-in now, but I think you. Look, I'm just trying to do my part, and that's whatever that is. you know, and each of us are reaching out and just, you know, anybody you talk to, we're just trying to expand the kingdom. That's it. It's not, it should not be self-serving, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Not only that, it's biblical. And the word of God says this, and of his kingdom, Isaiah, I believe, chapter 7 says, of his kingdom, there shall be no end. God's kingdom is ever increasing. It's not decreasing. It's not defeated. It's on an off. It should be on an offense, and it should be a world in which God has called us to be doing in the first place. Did you all see that Jim Acosta lost his press credentials for the White House last night? Secret Service took it from him. Oh my goodness, it's hilarious. You know, he's acting like he's the victim here. How rude of this guy. He has no respect for the president, the office of the president of the United States. He, you know, when the president tells you you're done, you know, in that setting, doesn't matter whether it's Barack Obama or whether it's Trump, when he tells you as a questionnaire that you're done, you put the microphone down. This guy refuses to give up the microphone yesterday, and one of the interns go to take the microphone from him, and he shrugs her off and he pushes her away. Well, little did he know that that right there cost him his credentials. He is no longer allowed in the White House press conferences, which is good because he tries to override everybody in there. Nobody else is allowed to ask questions but him.
But Dale,
he's narcissistic. Yes,
he's a bully. And what is sad is there are not other men in that room that do not stand up and tell him to shut the hell up. He is the bully. The only way I know to handle bullies sometimes is you just got to smack them.
Well, that would have been a beautiful sight, Roger, and I agree, because if that press secretary was my daughter, I would have been outside that door waiting for him to come out, and he would have been, I'd have plowed him down like a sack of potatoes into the ground. You know, you don't put your hands on a lady like that or shrug her off. She's just doing her job. Her job is when the president says that's enough, her job is to go take that microphone and to give it to somebody else for the next question. And you don't shove her, you don't brush her off and do what he did. He did it three times to her.
Yeah, I agree. It's just unbelievable. But, you know, I don't know where Dave wants us to go in this morning since he's gone, but Dale, let me take us in a direction. You know, one thing I have learned in this huddle in the last year and a half, 2 years, is abortion is the foundation of our mess. We have killed off not only the children from a child standpoint, but we have killed off our workers. And the reason we need these people coming into our country is we need them to work. The problem is we are inviting in people who want to tear down America. Abortion, having killed 70 million kids, that was our future. That was our future laborers. And I know that may not sound real good, but we have killed them off.
But see, but there's nothing wrong with work. Work sets you free. See, people got the wrong idea about all these things. First of all, Jim Acosta, it's good that he got barred from the White House because he's not doing his job. Sarah Sanders did do her job. She does her job admirably. Jim Acosta is supposed to report. He's not supposed to opine about the reporting. He's supposed to report. That's his job, and he's not doing it. That's why he's the enemy of the people, period.
Well, and then not only him, but many. There's no doubt about it. The news is biased. It's like never before, and it's always been kind of slanted. But now the costumes are off, and people are living exactly what they believe. That's why they're goats and sheep. They're to the left and to the right. The scripture talks about this. Jesus says this, he says, and I will send my four angels to the four corners of the earth. And he says, and then he will gather, because the server was talking about removing the tares from the wheat. And he said, don't do that, lest you might damage some of the wheat. And so if you learn about a little bit of farming, the difference between a wheat and a tare, they look identical. The difference is one produces a bud of wheat grain, and the other produces nothing. All it does is sits there and sucks up all the nutrients from the soil. And it, and the Lord says, I will then gather, I will send my four angels to gather the wheat and bring it into the barn. He says, and then I will go and gather the chaff. And he says, and I will burn the chaff. So that right there explodes theology of oh, I'm going out in the first rapture. You're going out in the first rapture. Here it says that he's going to gather the chaff and he's going to burn it. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. Come on in. I see.
Yeah, you know, I don't have a Bible study right now.
I do.
Okay. All this time, you guys always had something to say. You got nothing to say now. Well, let's pivot off here a little bit. Let's talk about the election. I want to talk about the election. I want to talk about the comments that Dave made yesterday, okay, with what he said. He estimated that the House, well, understand first that Trump, President Trump went out and campaigned for 11 specific senators, and 9 of those senators were elected 2 days ago. 9 of the 11.
Here, let me go back to the stupid side of elections. Do you know that in Texas, there was a representative, a Democratic representative, that won his seat while he's sitting in jail? Because of 5 charges, misdemeanor charges, and he's sitting in jail, yet the people still elected him. And then in Las Vegas, a brothel owner who died last month also won. I mean, this guy is dead, and he still won his seat, and he proclaims himself to be a Republican, yet he owns a brothel. I mean, how nuts is that?
Yeah, I know. I heard that too, Dale. I couldn't believe that. Hey, does that mean... Are the people just dumbed down, or they just didn't want to vote for a Democrat?
Well, I think it's a point of many things, but one of the things is that that's how stupid, and I say stupid, people have become. Because if I probably sat down and asked these people who won American Idol for the past 10 years, they could name their names off without even thinking, because that's what seems to be important to them. And so all they do is they go into that voting booth and they just pull the lever because it's a D, or they just pull the lever because it's an R. They never really look at the content. But think about it. The guy is in jail in Texas of all places, and he won his seat in the House, the state House.
You know, someone, I believe, yesterday said they couldn't believe that people actually went and still voted for any Democrat after observing what had happened to Kavanaugh over the hearings for his confirmation for the Supreme Court. And, you know, I'm with him. Anybody that saw that and knew what was going on and, you know, recognized and realized which side was doing the dirty stuff and which side was just trying to get the process forward. The guy was absolutely right. Nobody in their right mind would vote for the side that was trying to just tear Kavanaugh down on a personal level. The problem is, so few people in the country were aware of what was happening during those hearings, because so few people care enough to find out who they're even voting for. I don't think we should allow straight party voting anywhere. If you don't know the candidate you want to vote for enough to know what position he's voting, is running for, and what his name is, then you have no business voting. The ballot should be a piece of paper with the offices that are going to be voted for on it, and a blank spot to write people's names in. Shouldn't even give you a list to pick and choose and make a guess. If you don't know your individual candidate for your individual office, you have no business voting, in my mind.
And Larry, I'm a little old school on that. Go ahead, Chad.
Well, Dale, sorry, buddy. I was just going to say that, look, the Republican-Democrat paradigm, okay, is similar to that of theology of your church. You hung up on being a Lutheran, a Catholic, a Methodist, or whatever, and if the other guy doesn't like it, then you don't like them, or it causes the divide. Rather than, I don't think it even should have a Republican or a Democrat on the ballot, just have the people's names. And then you just don't vote parties, you know what I'm saying? Just vote on that.
Now, Chad, not only that, if you ask some of these people who either go to a Lutheran or Episcopalian or Presbyterian church, what Larry was saying, they don't even know the candidate. If you ask many of these people who go to their churches, what is your theology of your religion, of the Presbyterian? What is it exactly that they believe? If you would ask even a Catholic, what is the theology of the church? What does it say in the catechisms of the book of Catholicism, and ask them, what is it that they truly believe? If anybody had an open mind and listened to the truth of what would be spoken, they would flee from them, from many of those religions. They really would, because like in Catholicism, they believe that if there's a difference between the Pope and the Word of God, that the Pope's word is infallible because they believe he's the incarnate of Christ here on the earth. Are you kidding me? And that, whether that steps on a Catholic's toes or not, I'm just telling you, that's what they say. It's not what I say. That's what they believe. I'm really old school when it comes to politics. I believe, first off, I don't think you should vote, even though it causes civil war. That was one of the reasons why we had a civil war, was that I don't think you should be voting unless you own property. Because how are you to be voting on the interest of taxes when you don't own property to pay into that kind of the tax system? And the second thing, I think, litmus test. I think people should pass a litmus test before they can vote.
Hey, Dale, there's zero liability.
Well, they ought to have one if they have kids, too, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Hey, Dale, there's zero liability voters. It doesn't matter what they vote. They got no skin in the game.
Right. That's why I say either litmus test or own property. That was the reason why we had a civil war. But, oh, it was a slave issue. No, it wasn't.
Hey,
no,
can I jump in here for a second?
Sure, go ahead, Roger.
One of the things I was screening through this down our... I'd love to. Some of these guys we never hear from. I was just curious. Sherry Ramsey, David Davis, Southern Mo. What do you guys think of the election? What do you think has taken place? Karen Thomas, John Brokoff, it's good to see you in here. Steve, any of you guys have any comments about your thoughts of the election? And no's okay.
Well, I'd like to say I kind of looked at it like I did the presidential election. Trump's been campaigning, drawing 100,000 people. Hussein can't even scratch up 1,000. Biden did an event in Florida, and I think he drew 150. And you're telling me that all these people now have went out and voted Democrat? You know, I smell a lot of cheating going on. That's what I've got to say.
Amen. Amen.
I agree 100%. I believe that there's a lot of cheating going on, and it should have never happened the way it did. But all I know is God is in control, and we'll see what happens.
Hey, we had a guy in Texas, Beto O'Rourke, and you know, he's not even Hispanic, but he's got that Beto name, so he can identify, or hopefully people will identify with him. But we live in East Dallas, and I can't tell you the number of lawn signs that people had in on their front lawns for Beto. And I couldn't, you know, it was just, and I'm thinking to myself, how can people just vote Democratic like that after the Kavanaugh hearings? But he came close to defeating Cruz.
Oh, it goes to our country is run on a guess. People vote D or R because they don't know the issues. They don't know the people running. They don't care. They just vote D or R because that's the way their peer group, family or the they run around. That's the way they are trained to vote, is by not knowing anything, being totally ignorant. And they're just guessing that that's the right person to run the country. So our country is run for the most part by an election based on guessing.
Yeah, and not only that, they vote on the charisma of the person. And you know, this Beto guy in Texas, and I really never watched any of his stuff, but from what I understand, boy, he's a smooth talker. And I think those people who have those yard signs, they're probably going to keep them up, and they're just going to put 2020 on it I wouldn't be surprised if this guy's name is not in there for the election in 2020 for president of the Democratic Party.
How do you?
Yeah, Dale. That is the speculation. That's the talk that's going around.
How do you vote for a person who changes his name merely to identify with a group? That to me would be a foundational. I'm not voting for that fraud.
Hey, guys.
People voted for Barack, who hid his name, Hussein Obama.
Oh,
there's a precedent for
Larry. Stop
picking a name that people will vote or won't vote for.
Larry, stop making me look stupid.
Hey, Glenn. Let's you know, one thing about Cruz. Let me just say this. In my opinion, Cruz was damaged goods. Whether we liked it or not, and if I lived in Texas, I would have voted for Cruz. But man, he got beat up. And probably rightfully so. He's not that likable of a guy. But right. You remember when Trump called him Lion Ted. Well, you know what? Those things stick. And so I think that's just one thing to consider amongst the fact that people are becoming more and more brain dead. But here's another topic. Let's just mull on this for a minute, because this is something I don't think that's brought out in the mainstream a whole lot. Remember, Koch talked about 60 Republicans didn't run, including Paul Ryan, some pretty high-profile guys.
Yep.
And it looks like, in a sense, Trump and the powers to be are draining the Republican swamp, while the Democrats are not. And so it's going to be interesting in the days ahead. What's going to happen, you know, when, say, the FISA documents are released? I think we're in for some interesting times with potentially even some of these elections being overturned and investigated. What do you guys think? Any thoughts on that?
I think I would be a bit surprised if the House Intelligence Committee didn't draft a letter real quick with the House of Representatives asking the president not to declassify the FISA stuff for the sake of the, you know, the safety of the country and stuff. You know, they're going to pull. If we think they're going to become civil now, they may on the surface, but the Democrat Party is going to be the Iran. What Iran is to the Middle East and terrorism groups, the Democratic Party is going to be to the United States and the violent anti, you know, anarchy groups.
Amen. I don't believe that they're ever going to be civil. I believe that any civility that they say they're going to do is a facade, and they're basically going to do what they've been doing all this time.
Yeah.
Hey, I heard.
Well, guys, I want to say that.
Hold on, one second. Drain the swamp. The Democrats just threw a few turds in it.
I heard at an huddle meeting, and I didn't know if you guys knew. I heard that two of the congressmen from Minnesota were Muslims that got voted in.
Yep.
No, one's Michigan, one's Minnesota, okay?
Okay.
But also, look, as strongly as you feel about Republicans or about you're opposed to Democrats, there are Democrats that are strongly opposed to you. And they will do what they have to do to get their people in power. And our side is not willing to do that. We're not willing to do that. We have a line. They don't have a line. They don't have a line. There is nothing they won't do to get back to power. Nothing.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Chad. And let me say this. It may be a shameful self-promotion or something like this. But I want to say that the situation, no matter who won this election, the situation on the ground remains the same. Islam is trying to take our country over, and nobody is trying to stop them that can get it done, because the people that are out there trying to stop them can't change the laws and can't change the regulations. The people who can, in other words, our Congress, House, and Senate, are not trying to stop them because they don't feel pressured to yet. If we don't pressure them to do their jobs, it doesn't matter. We won't have a country to fix. We have to save a country before we can fix it.
Well put, Larry. Well put.
Muslims are using our.
Amen, Larry.
Well, one thing I want to get in here just for a split second. Now, I want to ask everybody to consider donating to Rusty Thomas's fund there with his son. They got a lot of medical bills. They got a lot of things going on. And if you could spare a few bucks or whatever, just go on there and donate. You know, any amount, and I'm sure they would appreciate it. I'm just saying. I just thought about it. So, anyway.
Well, thank you. Let me tell you, Ted.
Good idea. Excellent.
I'll give you a good update. Speaking with Rusty last night at the table, you know, because I did his GoFundMe page, and we raised so far $160,000+. But this his mountain of debt that came about from these several hospitals. He actually just got word that one of the hospitals has relieved the debt. They, in other words, they canceled it out, which was, it was a $60,000 hospital bill. And Rusty is no longer obligated to that. What a huge blessing.
Amen.
My motto is only if they were illegal immigrants, they wouldn't have those bills.
Yeah. Right. Well, he has one left, and guess what? It's MD Anderson. And they have been unwilling to work with them. So now they got an outside people that are working with the Thomases. It's a listen to this, $360,000 hospital bill. That's what he has remaining. Now he has money in the coffer. They're trying to negotiate to get this taken care of. And in the midst of all this, Rusty has been to Spokane, Washington. He's been here. He's on his way to Florida this week for celebration of two of the abortion clinics that closed down there. And he's got five children still at home. And so, brother, he is still having to press on. And I mean, I told him, I said, your wife just needs to keep a change of suitcase at the door for you. It seems like you're just coming and going. So I wish he'd have been up. I would have had him come in and do the show this morning for Coach.
Hey, man.
Hey, Larry.
Yes.
Hey, I think what you were talking about was really good. I'm in, if you guys want to turn to Deuteronomy 28, you know, the blessings and the curses. And Larry's right on, and I think there's a root to this whole thing. And it's all throughout. If you read the blessings, obviously that talks about when we're obedient to God, what our land will reap. And it's wonderful. It's glorious. But when we're disobedient, Listen to what Larry's talking about. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 43, it says, "The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low." Then in 45, it says, "Moreover, all of these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee." Now I know that Old Testament's not taught in a lot of these modern churches, but you know what? It still applies. It's still applicable today as it was back then, certainly this part of the Old Testament. And so you know what? It really comes down to I still admire what Larry's doing, because he's just trying to wake people up, because he's right. We're going to be overtaken by these enemies if we don't become obedient, but it's all about obeying the Lord and his commandments.
Amen, George. Amen.
Hey, I would like to throw in, getting back to the election, a lot of the people that had ran for those open seats that those Republican legislators were not running for, especially on the Democratic ticket, were retired CIA, retired government officials of one type or another. They worked in the State Department, something of that nature. And if you look at the people that were elected, especially in the Democratic side, look how many of those were retired government employees. I think they just built a Trojan horse.
Well, do you mean that they were controlled opposition? Is that what you're saying, Kevin?
Absolutely.
They're dinos. They're Democrats in name only.
No, I think what he's saying is they are implants. They are men, you know, the Manchurian candidates. They're the wow. Democrat Party was very purposeful in who they encouraged to run for those seats and who they supported, because not only do they want them in the House, but they have threads that go into the inner workings of the government from their past work histories, and they want them to use that to kill anything that's got to do with Jesus Christ and the good of the country.
Absolutely. That's exactly what I was saying.
Hey, Kevin. Kevin, see, that ties in, doesn't it, with Larry, with the curses. When we're under a curse, all these things happen, and none of them are good.
Yeah, I agree, George. I also think it's just rebellious attitude. See, people, you know, they're going to vote against Trump for somebody that, you know, they're going to vote for a socialist because they don't like Trump. So their way of protesting is to just vote for the wrong candidate. You know, we have a socialist congresswoman elected up in New York State. Mm. She doesn't know anything about government. Now, Dave Hodges says she'll need a tutor to teach her because she knows nothing. And then there's a fight going on in Arizona with another socialist. And I don't even know if that election has been decided yet. For the Senate seat there. But I just think it's a people are just, you know, they don't like Trump, so they're gonna use their vote as a protest and vote for somebody who shouldn't be in office. It's rebellion. It's just rebellion.
A lot of these people that'll run or win for office, you're right, they really don't know the system. They don't know the form of government. They have attorneys that surround them. These senators and House of Representatives, they don't write those bills. They have attorneys that do that. These guys are nothing but puppets and pawns is what they are.
Actually,
the Democratic Party, the new Democratic Party is much more vicious and more evil than the Nancy Pelosi. She's old school. She's old skin. She's dried up. She's a hag. The people that are coming into power now, these guys are extremists. They are so far left social that they make her look like a choir girl. And yes. And so,
yeah, and these are the dangerous people. These are the dangerous people.
Yep. And the people that they got around them, the attorneys that they got writing the legislation and giving them the words to speak, brother, they're embedded and they're in
Dale. Dale.
Amen.
We want to remember Nancy also believes in the word.
Well, so she says. Well, here's the thing about the attorneys, right?
Yeah, the demons believe too.
Yeah, hey, the attorneys are the dangerous part, because that was what the War of 1812 was all about. It was not about slavery. It was about attorneys being able to get into government. They hit the original 13th Amendment. The entire thing of the original 13th Amendment was that we couldn't have people who were not beholden to the United States getting into government. And that's what lawyers are. And nothing against Roger. Roger, you're our brother. But I'm talking about lawyers getting into government. And they're the ones who made this whole two-tiered system of justice. If you get lawyers out of government, that whole thing disappears.
But I don't have a problem with you guys saying that. But the problem, don't you remember Nancy Pelosi, you know, the word. Her favorite word was the word. These people are so fraudulent.
And you remember the Bible warned us about wolves and sheep clothing, about the one Jesus had a good thing to say about the church. Those who said they were apostles and aren't, you checked them out. You found them out. And he congratulated the church on that aspect. And you know, that's one thing that the true body of Christ has not been trained in, has, you know, and it goes back to fundamentals. It goes back to the foundation. It goes back to, you know, the simple things the Word of God says by the Holy Spirit. But we have too many people that build their theological house on an incomplete foundation. And it may be a really scriptural house they build, but if the foundation isn't all there, a storm will erode and take away the structure of that house and it'll get destroyed. I didn't say that. Jesus said that.
Yep.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, Larry, that's a great point. You know, I think back, you know, we've got three grandsons and they come over a lot, spend the night, and it's a lot of fun, you know, but they're typical kids. They like their candy. They like their snacks and their sugar. And I thought, you know, when I was a kid, I ate enough sugar as a kid and candy to last me a lifetime. So now that I'm middle-aged, you know, it's like I can't do that. I'll get anemic and sick if I ate like I did as a kid. And I thought, that's the same thing with so many of our churches today. You know, people are going to churches and they're getting fed sugar and stuff that tastes good, but it's making them sicker and sicker and more out of touch with reality and what's going on. And they're not even taught how to be part of the solution. So by default, they continue to be part of the problem.
Oh, I am. So, you know, my grandson, and a lot of y'all have met him, Hannon. He wanted to be here on this trip with him, but he had to be going to school. But he came up to me the other day and he said, "Papa," he says, "I want to start a STAB IT." And I says, "What's that?" He said, "It's for kids, STAB members in training." And I said, "If your mother will let you do it, let's get it going."
Hey. Rearing up a children in the ways that they should go, that they will not depart from them when they get older. They're never too young to learn. Really not.
That's great, Larry. That's great.
Hey, Dale.
Yes, sir.
Jeff Klein here. Hey, here's just an idea. Since you get to hang out with Rusty a lot, is any, you know, everybody's heading to the Planned Parenthood. Rusty's going this weekend. Coach going down to Texas. We're up here in Ohio. Ask Rusty if there's a way he could get on tomorrow morning for a few minutes and just encourage the body of guys going out to all these Planned Parenthoods. Because you know how Rusty is. He can flat fire you up with just a 10, 15-minute message. But run that by him if he's not too busy. You know what I mean?
I will, but he'll probably be involved doing – God, listen to his itinerary. He's leaving here this morning. So he's going to be going, but I will let him know that. That boy's greeting himself, coming and going. But, you know, I appreciate those who are going out to the clinic and, you know, rescuing those unjustly sentenced to death. Hold back those who are led under the slaughter. It's a grievous thing. The shedding of the innocent blood in this nation. And we look around us and we see the fruit of that, which is the decaying fruit in our system. In our political system, in our ways of life, in our social system, it's absolutely it's grievous. It's heavy, and once again, you know, like Roger, you know, he said no punt taken as an attorney. I'm a pastor. I listen to Coach all the time, and I will jump right in there because I believe that so many pastors have fleeced the flock. They mm-hmm. have. You know, TV evangelism is one of the worst disconnect for a person. They are building their sinking sand kingdoms. And yet I look and I want to just commend, you know, those who've gone down to Florida and doing what they're doing, those who've gone in the past flood relief efforts to help people and the tragedy that they're doing, to see Chad stepping up and doing what Chad's doing now. I mean, really, taking the bull by the horns and not just about flood relief, but actively getting people involved and doing what he is doing. And, you know, I pray that the Lord opens the eyes of the sinners down in Texas this weekend when they go out in front of that clinic down there. Governor Abbott won in a landslide. Not only what you guys got going on, and I talked with Rusty about this, there's going to be a big political push in Texas for Governor Abbott to honor his word about the Jeremiah bill. In other words, to abolish abortion in the state of Texas. So that's coming down the pike too.
Hey Dale, or yeah. Chad, is there a way you guys can put up, or maybe it is the how to donate to Rusty to make it really easy for people to give?
Oh yeah, it's real simple. You can go to, just Google search Rusty's name and you're going to find Elijah Ministries. You can donate directly to Elijah Ministry You can donate through Operation Save America. You can go to the GoFundMe page that is set up for Jeremiah. You can contact me. I can give you his home address, and you can mail a check directly to his house.
Okay. Yeah. Either way, be great. But that makes it simple. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. 5 minutes, guys. Come on, jump in.
Well, I was going to throw another 2 cents in there. The thing that I was really disappointed about with this election, you know, doing the stand of the flag thing, and you know, I had a couple of ministers and pastors that said they were going to show up. The gentleman that was running for state representative in our local district, the 160th district here in Southwest Missouri, he showed up 2 weeks in a row at the stand with a flag. But you know, the most I could ever get out there was five of us, and three of us are usually was my family. And fortunately, Ben Baker did win his seat. He actually thumped the Democratic opponent. It was like a almost 78% to 22% win. Mm-hmm. And he is wise to the stab. Sound the alarm brigade situation, and I think he's going to start trying to push a strong Christian agenda, and he's also going to push for Missouri to become a standard for abortion and eliminate it in the state of Missouri, because there's only one abortion clinic in the state of Missouri now, and that's in St. Louis. So I'm very fortunate that he was out there with me, but with this election that just took place, only one out of every seven or eight evangelical Christians actually even voted.
Was that why Chris Kobach didn't get elected in Missouri?
That was Kansas. Chris Kobach was running.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I thought that was Missouri. Okay.
Hey, Kevin, just on a lighter side, be careful about throwing in your 2 cents. Democrats will come in there and try to steal it.
No, they'll see where it came from to go try to get the source. That's what they do.
They'll tax you on it.
Well, if they need it that bad, they just thing just have it. You know, I'll just consider it another part of what I'm supposed to do for the kingdom.
The problem is that they don't get enough, brother. They once they get their hands in your pocket, it stays in your pocket.
Amen. Yeah, hey guys, those of you that are already with STAB, I really, really encourage you. I'll be back home and on a normal schedule again for this week's upcoming leadership meeting on Tuesday night. If you're not already on the leadership notification list, and you're only there if you really ask to be, but if you're not already on the leadership notification list, ask, you know, send me an email or something, ask me to put you on it, because we really, really need to get things rolling again. This election kind of put things on hold a little bit because people were waiting for the red tsunami to fix stuff for us, and the red tsunami didn't happen. You know, like I think I said yesterday, tsunamis are caused by earthquakes, but our country wasn't devastated by an earthquake. It has been eroded over the years, and erosions don't cause tsunamis, so we didn't see a tsunami to make a quick, sudden change in public opinion. We just have to take the public opinion that's on our side and solidify it and use it to good advantage.
Amen, brother.
Media room towards the president.
I don't see a 2-year. I didn't see a blue wave. All I see is another 2-year mud puddle.
Yeah, absolutely. Part
of continuing cleaning of the swamp. So obviously, I'm looking at my phone, Jared. There's a minute left. I know that. Just want to plug this once again. I know Chad, y'all, those who are going. You know, now's the time, you know, heading to Texas. You want to contact Chad for any kind of details of what's going on. Chad, so that's Friday, Saturday. Is that the event, Friday and Saturday in Texas?
Yeah, give him a head count. Give him a head count so he doesn't make you a peanut butter sandwich instead of a steak, okay?
Oh, man, look. Look, man, I pray that the Lord bless all you gentlemen that are going into Texas to stand up for righteousness. And Jesus said this. He says, even if you give a cup of water It says it'll be remembered in heaven. Think about that. Giving a cup of water unto a prophet. It says you receive a reward. You receive a prophet's reward. What you guys are doing down there, you are sowing into the kingdom, and you will reap the benefits thereof. And I pray that the Lord blesses you all and keeps you strong in these endeavors. God bless you all.
Amen, thank you for that brother. Encouragement, Dale. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.